My brothers and sisters, on last Sunday, I began a series of Advent sermons from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. I titled the message on last Sunday, Dumb Zacharias. I told you that Zacharias was a priest who had a wife named Elizabeth, but they were childless because Elizabeth was barren. We learned on last Sunday that Zacharias and Elizabeth were old, and Elizabeth was well beyond her childbearing years. I told you that as a priest, the time came for Zacharias to complete his temple service by burning incense at the altar of incense within the temple. While he was burning the incense, the angel Gabriel appeared to him on the right side of the altar of incense. Gabriel tells Zacharias not to fear, for God has heard his prayer, and that his wife Elizabeth shall bear him a son, and that he should call or name him John. Then Gabriel tells Zacharias the good things that shall come as the result of John's birth. Gabriel tells Zacharias that he and Elizabeth will be filled with joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He also tells him that John shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and not drink wine or strong drink. And he also says that John shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, and that many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God through John's ministry. And also that John shall go before them in the spirit of Elijah. Now, remember with me that the Bible says that the angel Gabriel told Zacharias that God has heard his prayer for a son, and that God has finally answered his prayer in the affirmative. But I told you on last Sunday that Zacharias responded to Gabriel's divine announcement by speaking words of doubt. In other words, he said something that I suggested was considered dumb. Instead of him believing Gabriel's declaration, Zacharias responds by saying, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years." Zacharias responds by focusing on his limitations rather than the almighty power of God to do all things. And I told you on last Sunday that we too often do what Zacharias did. We concentrate on our perceived inabilities and don't trust God to perform the supernatural in our lives. So the Bible told us that because of Zacharias' lack of faith, that the angel Gabriel tells Zacharias that he shall be dumb and unable to speak until the day that God's word is performed. And John leaves the temple speechless or dumb. Now, my brothers and sisters, if you will, let us pick up from the scriptural text from where we left off on last Sunday. The Bible says that Zacharias goes home. But remember that Zacharias is unable to speak. He could not verbally communicate to his wife Elizabeth what has happened to him. But the Bible says that God's word was fulfilled and that Elizabeth, Zacharias' wife, did conceive. And I don't know about you, but I am so glad on this Sunday morning that I can count on God to fulfill his word. Aren't you glad about that? You know, if God declares something, it shall come to pass. That is why we are told to hide his word in our hearts and trust and stand on the promises of God. The Bible says, and in the sixth month, that is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth. God sends Gabriel on a divine assignment to see a virgin who was espoused to a man named Joseph. And the virgin's name was Mary. And just as he did when he appeared to Zacharias, Gabriel tells Mary not to fear. Don't be afraid. Then he tells her that she is highly favored and that the Lord is with her and that she is blessed among women. How many of you watching and listening today would love to hear God say about you that you are highly favored and that his presence is with you? I don't know about you, but I think I would shout glory about those words being spoken about my life. Well, the Bible says that the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she will conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Jesus. Gabriel, just like he did Zacharias, tells Mary the great things that will come as the result of Jesus' birth into the world. Gabriel tells Mary that Jesus will be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and that he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then the Bible tells us that Mary responds to Gabriel's announcement almost in the same manner that Zacharias did. Mary says, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, let me suggest to you that there is a profound difference in Mary's response and Zacharias's response to the angel Gabriel. Can we have some Bible study? Now, remember, my brothers and sisters, that when Gabriel appeared to Zacharias in the temple, Gabriel told Zacharias that his prayer was heard. Remember that? Zacharias was praying for a child. But check this out. Mary, who was a virgin, was not praying for a child. She knew that she was unmarried and wasn't expected to have a child until after her formal marriage to Joseph. I said, listen to me good, that Mary was not praying at the time that she would conceive a son. She knew that it would have brought much shame to her and Joseph if she turned up pregnant during her betrothal period. So, when she asked Gabriel how she was going to conceive, since she had not known a man, she was asking or responding to Gabriel in innocence. The only way that Mary could conceive was to be supernaturally moved upon. Zacharias had known his wife Elizabeth and tried to conceive a child with her for many years. In other words, Zacharias was engaged in the act that would bring forth a child, and Mary was not. So, when Zacharias was told by Gabriel that his prayer for a son had been answered, Zacharias should at least responded by saying, "Finally," instead of saying, "How?" Oh, come on, y'all. Mary innocently responds by saying, How? Because she knew that she was a virgin. And the Bible says that Gabriel responds to Mary by saying, listen, Mary, don't worry about it. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. In other words, Gabriel tells Mary that I know that you are wondering how you will conceive. But don't worry about that, Mary. It's all God's doing. God has got this in his control. God is going to supernaturally move upon you and bring this thing to pass. God has favored you and has chosen you to be the earthly mother of his divine son, Jesus the Christ. And then, in verse 36 of the scriptural text, Gabriel gives Mary some incredible news. What news was that, Pastor Wood? He tells Mary, and behold, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Listen. Gabriel says, and behold. In other words, Gabriel tells Mary, in essence, to go and see her cousin Elizabeth. That is what the word behold means. It means to look or gaze upon. It means to see. So in essence, Gabriel tells Mary that she needs to take a road trip to see or to gaze upon or to look upon her cousin Elizabeth. Why, Pastor Wood, does Gabriel want Mary to go see Elizabeth? I'm glad you asked. Let me suggest a few reasons and then go to my seat. Gabriel tells Mary to go to see Elizabeth to encourage Mary in the Lord. You hear what I said? I said, Gabriel tells Mary to go to see Elizabeth to encourage her in the Lord. Now remember, my brothers and sisters, Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, is unable to speak because of his failure to believe the word of God spoken to him by the angel Gabriel. And check this out. Maybe, just maybe, that one of the reasons that Gabriel told Zacharias that his mouth will be silenced until after the birth of John was because Gabriel knew that Mary was going to come to Zacharias's house to see his wife Elizabeth, and that Mary coming to his house did not need to hear any doubtful or dumb words that would cause her to doubt the promises of God. Oh, come on now. Zacharias spoke words of doubt to Gabriel when Gabriel told him that God heard his prayer and that his wife would conceive. And let me suggest to you that if Zacharias still had the capability to speak, when Mary showed up to his house, Zacharias might have cast doubt on the supernatural move of God that was going to take place in Mary's life. Lord, have mercy. And let me say right here that some of us who are watching and listening need to stop hanging around the Zachariases that are in our lives. Lord, have mercy. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people who always speak words of doubt and words of discouragement. Some of our lives would be so much better if we stopped listening and hanging around the negative Zachariases in our lives. Some of us need to pray that the Zachariases around us become silent. In other words, that they shut up and not speak. Well, let me move on. Gabriel wants Mary to go see Elizabeth in order to encourage her in the Lord. In other words, if God could perform a miracle in the life of her cousin Elizabeth, who was barren, then he certainly could perform a miracle in her life, in Mary's life too. And my brothers and sisters, God will often bless those who are around us and attached to us to show us that he can and will bless us just like he blessed them. So if God is blessing people around you, listen, my brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Because guess what? You may be the next in line. Gabriel tells Mary to go and see Elizabeth in order to encourage her in the Lord. Gabriel also tells Mary to go and see Elizabeth to literally see what God can do. Did you hear what I said? I said that Gabriel also tells Mary to go and see Elizabeth for Mary to literally see what God can do. Now, remember with me that the scripture text tells us that it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that Gabriel told Mary to go see Elizabeth. Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant when Mary visited her. Now, at 6 months, Elizabeth would be visually showing the fact that she was pregnant. There would be no doubt in Mary's mind that Elizabeth had conceived. Mary could literally see with her own eyes the miracle that God had performed in the life of her cousin Elizabeth. And just like Mary, many of us listening and watching today have literally seen with our own eyes some of the miracles that God has performed in our lives. Can I get a witness? We have seen God heal our bodies. We have seen God save us in times of trouble. We have literally seen how God provided for us when our money got tight. We have seen literally with our own eyes how God gave us peace of mind during difficult days and blessed and favored us even when we did not deserve it. I'm here to suggest on this Sunday morning that we have literally seen God move on our behalf. And come on, let's be honest with each other. For if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we would have lost our minds and given up all hope in life. But thank God for his presence, his protection, and his provision. And thank God that he lets us literally see his moving in our lives. Gabriel tells Mary to go and see Elizabeth so that she can literally see what God has done. And finally, God tells Mary to go and see Elizabeth to prove to her that nothing shall be impossible with God. Lord, have mercy. Let me say that again. God tells Mary that nothing is impossible with God. Gabriel, in essence, tells Mary that what he is telling her that was going to happen to her would certainly be impossible with men. But with the supernatural, all-powerful God, that nothing is impossible. And on this Sunday morning, I stopped by New Providence to encourage you, my brothers and my sisters, to have faith in God. Because nothing is impossible with our God. In these days of the coronavirus, all I'm telling you is to have faith in God. In these days of governmental upheaval, my brothers and sisters, just have faith in God. In these times of economic insecurity, have faith in God. In these days of uncertainty, I challenge you just to have faith in God, because nothing is impossible with our God. He can turn things around in your life and in my life. He can turn things around, even the coronavirus. All he has to do is speak the word, and the virus will have to go. God has the power to turn things around, even in our government upheaval. God has the power to turn things around in your life and in my life, because nothing is impossible with God. Let me tell you what you and I need to do. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he will strengthen our hearts. I'm so glad that the Bible says that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like an eagle. They'll run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. I don't know about you, but I trust in God. I know he's able to do all things but fail. So as I go to my seat, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will, don't you doubt it, but he will direct your paths. Go see Elizabeth.